Welcome to day 77 of Seeking a Path to the Good Life, a walk through the Bible in a year. Let us return to the Hebrew Bible, reading Judges 18 to 19. The Migration of Dan. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and in those days, the tribes of the Danites was seeking for itself a territory to live in. For until then, no territory among the tribes of Israel had been allotted to them. So the Danites sent five valiant men from the whole number of their clan, from Zorah and from Eshtaol, to spy out the land and to explore it. And they said to them, "Go explore the land." When they came to the hill country of Ephraim, to the house of Micah, they stayed there. While they were at Micah's house, they recognized the voice of the young Levite. So they went over and asked him, "Who brought you here? What are you doing in this place? What is your business here?" He said to them, "Micah did such and such for me, and he hired me, and I have become his priest." Then they said to him, "Inquire of God that we may know whether the mission we are undertaking will succeed." The priest replied, "Go in peace. The mission you are on is under the eye of the Lord." The five men went on, and when they came to Laish, they observed the people who were there living securely after the manner of the Sidonians, quiet and unsuspecting, lacking nothing on earth and possessing wealth. Furthermore, they were far from the Sidonians and had no dealings with Aram. When they came to their kinsfolk at Zorah and Eshtaol, they said to them, "What do you report?" They said, "Come, let us go up against them, for we have seen the land, and it is very good. Will you do nothing? Do not be slow to go, but enter in and possess the land. When you go, you will come to an unsuspecting people. The land is broad. God has indeed given it to your hands, a place where there is no lack of anything on earth." 600 men of the Danite clan, armed with weapons of war, set out from Zorah and Eshtaol and went up and encamped at Kiriath Jearim in Judah. On this account, that place is called Mahane Dan. To this day, it is west of Kiriath Jearim. From there, they passed on to the hill country of Ephraim and came to the house of Micah. Then the five men who had gone to spy out the land, that is Laish, said to their comrades, "Do you know that in these buildings there are an ephod, teraphim, and an idol of cast metal? Now, therefore, consider what you will do." So they turned in that direction and came to the house of the young Levite at the home of Micah and greeted him. While 600 men of the Danites, armed with their weapons of war, stood by the entrance of the gate, the five men who had gone to spy out the land proceeded to enter and take the idol of cast metal, the ephod, and the teraphim. The priest was standing by the entrance of the gate with 600 men armed with weapons of war. When the men went into Micah's house and took the idol of cast metal, the ephod, and the teraphim, the priest said to them, "What are you doing?" They said to him, "Keep quiet, put your hand over your mouth and come with us, and be to us a father and a priest. It is better for you to be priest to the house of the one person or to be priest to a tribe and clan in Israel." Then the priest accepted the offer. He took the ephod and the teraphim and the idol and went along with the people. So they resumed their journey, putting the little ones, the livestock, and the goods in front of them. When they were some distance from the home of Micah, the men who were in the houses near Micah's house were called out, and they overtook the Danites. They shouted to the Danites, who turned around and said to Micah, "What is the matter that you have come with such a company?" He replied, "You take my gods that I made and the priest and go away. And what have I left? How then can you ask me what is the matter?" And the Danites said to him, "You had better not let your voice be heard among us, or else hot-tempered fellows will attack you and you will lose your life and the lives of your household." Then the Danites went their way. When Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back to his home. The Danites settle in Laish. The Danites, having taken what Micah had made and the priest who belonged to him, came to Laish to a people quiet and unsuspecting, put them to the sword, and burned down the city. There was no deliverer because it was far from Sidon, and they had no dealings with Aram. It was in the valley that belongs to Beth Rehob. They rebuilt the city and lived in it. They named the city Dan after their ancestor Dan, who was born to Israel, but the name of the city was formerly Laish. Then the Danites set up the idol for themselves. Jonathan, son of Gershom, son of Moses, and his sons were priests to the tribe of the Danites until the time the land went into captivity. So they maintained as their own Micah's idol so that he had made as long as the house of God was at Shiloh. The Levite's concubine. In those days, when there was no king in Israel, a certain Levite residing in the remote parts of the hill country of Ephraim took to himself a concubine from Bethlehem in Judah. But his concubine became angry with him, and she went away from him to her father's house at Bethlehem in Judah and was there for 4 months. When her husband set out after her to speak tenderly to her and bring her back, he had with him his servant and a couple of donkeys. When he reached her father's house, the young woman's father saw him and came with joy to meet him. His father-in-law, the young woman's father, made him stay, and he remained with him 3 days, so they ate and drank, and he stayed there. On the fourth day, they got up early in the morning, and he prepared to go, but the young woman's father said to the son-in-law, "Fortify yourself with a bit of food. After that, you may go." So the two men sat and ate and drank together, and the young woman's father said to the man, "Why not spend the night and enjoy yourself?" When the man got up to go, his father-in-law kept urging him until he spent the night there again. On the fifth day, he got up early in the morning to leave, and the young woman's father said, "Fortify yourself and linger until the day declines." So the two of them ate. When the man with his concubine and his servant got up to leave, his father-in-law, the young woman's father, said to him, "Look, the day has worn on until it is almost evening. Spend the night. See, the day has drawn to a close. Spend the night here and enjoy yourself. Tomorrow you can get up early in the morning for your journey and go home." But the man would not spend the night. He got up and departed and arrived opposite Jebus, that is Jerusalem. He had with him a couple of saddled donkeys, and his concubine was with him. When they were near Jebus, the day was far spent, and the servant said to his master, "Come now, let us turn aside to the city of the Jebusites and spend the night in it." But his master said to him, "We will not turn aside into a city of foreigners. We do not belong to the people of Israel, but we will continue to Gibeah." Then he said to his servant, "Come, let us try to reach one of these places and spend the night at Gibeah or at Ramah." So they passed on and went their way, and the sun went down near them, on them near Gibeah, which belongs to Benjamin. They turned aside there to go in and spent the night at Gibeah. He went in and sat down in the open square of the city, but no one took them in to spend the night. Then at evening there was an old man coming from his work in the field. The man was from the hill country of Ephraim, and he was residing in Gibeah, the people of the place where were Benjaminites. When the old man looked up and saw the wayfarer in the open square of the city, he said, "Where are you going, and where do you come from?" He answered him, "We are passing from Bethlehem and Judah to the remote parts of the hill country of Ephraim, from which I come. I went to Bethlehem and Judah, and I am going to my home. Nobody has offered to take me in. We have straw and fodder for our donkeys, with bread and wine for me and the woman and the young man along with us. Your servants need nothing more." The old man said, "Peace be to you. I will care for all your wants. Do not spend the night in the square." So he brought them to his house and fed the donkeys, and they washed their feet and ate and drank. Gibeah's crime. While they were enjoying themselves, the men of the city, a perverse lot, surrounded the house and started pounding on the door. They said to the old man, the master of the house, "Bring out the man who has come into your house so that we may have intercourse with him." And the man, the master of the house, went out to them and said, "No, my brothers, do not act so wickedly. since this man is my guest. Do not do this vile thing. Here are my virgin daughter and his concubine. Let me bring them out now. Ravish them and do whatever you want to them. But against this man, do not do such a vile thing. But the men would not listen to him. So the man seized his concubine and put her out to them. They wantonly raped her and abused her all through the night until the morning. And as the dawn began to break, they let her go. As morning appeared, the woman came and fell down at the door of the man's house where her master was until it was light. In the morning, her master got up, opened the doors of the house, and when he went out to go on his way, there was the woman, his concubine, lying at the door of the house with her hands on the threshold. "Get up," he said to her, "we are going." But there was no answer. Then he put her on the donkey, and the men set out for his home. When he entered his house, he took a knife, and grasping his concubine, he cut her into 12 pieces, limb by limb, and set her throughout all the territory of Israel. Then he commanded to the men whom he sent, saying, "Thus you shall say to all the Israelites, has such a thing ever happened since the day that the Israelites came up from the land of Egypt until this day? Consider it, take counsel, and speak out." As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? We are reading through the history of a people who continue to do evil. We read of the brutal rape and death of a woman. What is the purpose of these stories? Judges 19:30 ends with the exhortation to consider it, take counsel, and speak out. How do we speak out against evil in our own time and stand up for those without power, those who are oppressed and devalued? Now let's move to James 4-5. Friendship with the world. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings? They are at war within you. You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly, in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Adulterers, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you suppose that the scripture speaks to no purpose? Does the spirit that God caused to dwell in us desire envy? But God gives us all the more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and peace, weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy into dejection. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Warning against judging another. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers and sisters. Whoever speaks evil against another or judges another speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver and judge who is able to save and to destroy. So who then are you to judge your neighbor? Boasting about tomorrow. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a town and spend a year there, doing business and making money. Yet you do not even know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wishes, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the right thing to do and fails to do it commits sin. Warning to rich oppressors. Come now, you rich people, weep and wail for the miseries that are coming to you. Your riches have rotted and your clothes are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have rusted, and their rust will be evidence against you, and it will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up evidence against, you have laid up treasure during the last days. Listen, the wages of your laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on the earth in luxury and in pleasure. You have nourished your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the righteous, one who does not resist you. Patience and suffering. Be patient, therefore, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Brothers and sisters, do not grumble against one another so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers and sisters, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Indeed, we call blessed those who show endurance. You have heard of the endurance of Job, and you have seen the outcome that the Lord brought about, for the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Above all, brothers and sisters, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be your yes and your no, no be your no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. The prayer of faith. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They shall call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back to another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? We hear about the value of humility and to have patience in suffering. How often do we suffer because of our own greed or expectation? How do we approach life from a sense of abundance, knowing that what we have is enough and that God will always provide? Let's end our time in prayer. Our Father who is in the skies, may your name be recognized as holy. May your kingdom come. May your will be done, as it is in the sky, so also on the land. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive those indebted to us. Don't lead us into the test, but deliver us from the evil one.